today as we come to the table.
She just took $60,000 in a moment of time and poured it on his feet and his head. Wow. I wish I loved the Lord that way. I don't. I love him, don't get me wrong. But I don't know that I'm to the place where I would, with reckless abandon, just pour everything out without stopping for a minute and thinking. And maybe Mary had thought this all through. I don't know. But I want to love him that way. I want to have that kind of reckless abandon for the Lord. Now you know why all eyes were on Mary. What is she doing? Did you see what Mary just did? I bet it just got quiet probably. Just they saw her break it open thinking, wow, she's going to use some of her inheritance on the Lord. She just poured out her entire inheritance on the Lord's feet.
Mary's act of pouring out a perfume worth $60,000 at Jesus' feet was a moment of pure, reckless devotion. It's a level of love that makes you stop and think, would you do the same? Would you be willing to give up something so valuable? Her actions push us to reflect on what true sacrificial love for the Lord really looks like. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark shares that while many of us love the Lord, we may hesitate to display such radical, unreserved worship. Imagine the silence that must have fallen as everyone watched, stunned by her sacrificial act. Does this story challenge you to seek a deeper, more wholehearted love for Jesus? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 12, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
This was a community gathering. Another gospel tells us that they gathered here at this last time before the Lord went to the cross at a man's house by the name of Simon, Simon the leper, if you will. And there was more than one gathering of meals with the Lord during this six-day period. We see another woman who came and anointed the Lord's feet with her tears. And she was a sinner that was involved in some heavy sin. Now we see Mary, the Mary of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus fame. She's going to anoint the Lord's feet with anointing oil and wipe his feet with her hair, etc. So there was more than one meal. There was more than one anointing. But this is no doubt at Simon the leper's house or another person's house, as the scripture indicates in other gospels, that was happening here. And I think that's the reason it mentions that Lazarus was there. So you would recognize a couple of things, not only Lazarus being there, but this is also at someone else's house. And if indeed it was Simon, the son of the leper, or Simon the leper's house, it's very interesting because they're giving this honorary, again, Thanksgiving meal to the Lord. And I find this interesting. If this was Simon the leper's house, then Simon the leper would have been there. And by the way, Simon the leper would have no longer been a leper. Why? Because Jesus healed the lepers that were around him. And he's the only one that could heal because there was no healing for leprosy. You couldn't get a healing for leprosy. God is the only one. As a matter of fact, no one was ever healed of leprosy in scripture. We talked about last week, except one, Naaman, who came from Syria, and Elisha pronounced a blessing as he washed in the Jordan and he was healed. All the other lepers were healed by Jesus. And because they had just healed, rather Jesus had just healed these 10 lepers earlier, it makes you wonder, was this one of the lepers? Were they at one of the lepers' house? Was this a Simon that Jesus healed? Was it Simon's son that he healed? Was it somebody in the family, a connection, if you will, that's having this meal here and this leper's there that's been healed? And again, why do I say this? Because this was quite the dinner indeed. This was quite the feast. Again, the word here, supper, means not only meal, it means feast. Which again is very picturesque, fits the narrative, and really fits the narrative when we think about us and Thanksgiving. And again, this would especially indeed have been a feast with Lazarus being there, having just been raised from the dead, as well as all these others that were there, what we'll get to in a moment. But notice we see here at this meal, like at the last one, it mentions that Martha is serving. Now again, you remember last time we saw Martha at a meal serving, they were at Martha and Mary's house. Martha was serving, Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet, which is always where Mary was. We always see Mary sitting at the Lord's feet whenever the Lord was around. Martha comes in, Lord, rebuke her. She's not helping me get everything ready. And the Lord didn't rebuke Martha because she was serving. He rebuked Martha because Martha was trying to pull Mary away from the word. He said, let her be in the Word. She's at my feet. She's hearing me. She's sharing with me. Leave her alone. There's always time to serve. Right now, she's chosen the better thing. Leave her alone. And why do I say that? Because there's nothing wrong in serving. Some of you guys have natural propensities to serve. Some of you have more of a natural propensity to worship. Some of you have more of a natural propensity to teach or to work in the kids' ministry. The point is simply this. All of us have different natural propensities and giftings and calls from the Lord to do what God has called us to do. And so now we see Martha once again doing what it is that God called her to do, to be a servant. Now, you know what? When we do our church gatherings, I can see what you guys are called to do oftentimes. Not all of you, but some of you. Why? Especially those of you with gifts of serving. Because we'll be having a meal in there. And yes, we're all called to serve. I realize that. And usually when people are there, you guys are there, everybody pitches in. That's not the point. But you'll see one or two people that the whole time, they're walking around emptying trash, picking up plates, throwing cups away. Let me get that for you, Pastor, whatever. And it's always these people that are serving. Why? There's a natural propensity. They're Marthas in the body. We need all you Marthas. You're a blessing. But we also need all the Marys that are worshipers, that lead us to the throne of God. We also need all the others that are the testimonials, the Lazaruses, and everybody else about what God has done in their life. And we also need those that are the teachers and all the other things. This is making up the body of Christ. And so it's a wonderful thing. And God has given you a gift. Whatever he's given you, you're supposed to be using for the body, because that's what makes the body up of who we are. Now, it's interesting when it talks about this meal that Martha's serving at and the gathering of all these people. Remember, Lazarus is there at the table. If indeed this is the one connected to Simon the leper or Simon the leper's home or whatever, then Simon the leper was there. And if you remember where Jesus was right before this, we didn't see it in John, but in one of the other gospels, it tells us that he had just come through Jericho on the way up for this Passover. And as he came through Jericho, guess who was crying out for a healing? A man by the name of Bartimaeus. He was known as blind Bartimaeus. Lord, son of David. He was acknowledging him as the Messiah by calling him son of David. Son of David, have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy. And the crowd's walking by because you could hear that it was Jesus. And they're like, you know, don't bother the Lord. He's busy. The Lord hears him and says, go get him and bring him here. And remember, he's the one that ran to the Lord. What do you want me to do for you? I want to be healed. I want to see. He gave him his sight. The Bible says that Bartimaeus began to follow the Lord at that point. So probably Bartimaeus followed him all the way up here to this meal, and they would have these community meals oftentimes when it was open up to everyone to come. This appears to be one of them as they're having this feast and all these people there. So very likely you've got Bartimaeus, you've got Simon there who used to be a leper, and you've got Lazarus there. I mean, listen, who's at this meal? You have Simon, the ex-leper, Bartimaeus, the ex-blind man, Lazarus, the ex-dead man, and Jesus healed them all. What kind of celebration meal would this have been? Imagine. And again, in my mind, I start living out the scene. What would it's like? Can you imagine being there and everybody's just loving each other and excited and this happy festive attitude? The Lord is here. Look what he's done for us. Look over there. You walk by and you hear him going, yeah, well, when I was dead, it's pretty interesting. I'll tell you what, he'll keep going. And the next guy, you know, I've never seen a feast before. I knew what it tastes like, but this looks great. This is amazing. And the other one, I've never been in my home. I've been a leper and now I'm in the leper colony. And now I can come back with my family and celebrate. Can you imagine the conversations? And imagine the conversations going on in Jerusalem. Because word had spread about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Word had spread about the lepers who had to go through the 10 days of cleansing on the Temple Mount, which that was a miracle everyone knew. And probably as much as we like to talk, probably even the word of Bartimaeus had now spread to Jerusalem by now. Because whenever you have good news, what do? You tell somebody as fast as you can the good news. So this would have been something that would have been a huge celebration for this town. Probably a large number of people there. There would have been a buzz all through Jerusalem. And by the way, over 2 million people showing up at this time from around the world getting ready for the Passover. This would have been quite the event. And so what a living testimony of the greatness and power of Jesus, and all the more reason no one could deny the Lord in his power and in his authority. And so even though the religious leaders so aggressively tried to do so. And so here they are. Notice verse 3. This is where the scene changes. So picture the scene in your mind. Everybody's talking. Everybody's at the table. Everybody's excited. They're passing all the food. The turkey and dressing's going around. Not really. They wouldn't have turkey and dressing. But either way, they're eating all this great Middle Eastern food at this big celebration. And all of a sudden, everybody turns and looks as Mary walks in the room and gets everyone's attention. Why? Because she's going to do something that stands out greatly. Notice what happens. Look at verse 3. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, which, by the way, they would keep in these bottles. They oftentimes hung around their neck. We'll get more of that in a moment. Anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped it with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Why did I say that everyone would look at her? Because she would walk in with this thing around her neck, probably. She went over to the Lord and broke it open, put some on his head and some on his feet, and this whole thing begins. Now, this was an amazing, amazing situation here. It's a classic a descriptive picture here of their personalities again. Martha serving and Mary once again at the Lord's feet, worshiping the Lord. And notice it says she took very costly spikenard of oil to pour on the Lord's feet. Again, another gospel tells us that she poured it on his head as well. And this would have been a very expensive, fragrant oil. In this day, these ointments were not easy to come by. Hence, they were very valuable. This particular one had to be imported from India. So they imagine, you couldn't just fly it in from India, right? You had to bring it over on camels, you know, or on donkeys or on through ships and all the different, depending on where you were to get it. This was to have an imported thing from India. This was a very expensive thing, very rare, very expensive. So much so they were often a part of the marriage betrothal, just like a ring is for us today. Now, again, they would take some of this ointment, if you were a special guest, and put just a little bit on your head. And then with your feet, they'd wash your feet with water. We're going to see Mary did something very, very different through this whole process. And by the way, with that little thing, again, don't think of it as a sense of them pouring some kind of like just gross oil all over the Lord that got everywhere. You know, think about the oil they poured on Aaron, and it would have been more dramatic when they did that. They would take just a little bit on the dry part of the head, there, the Middle Eastern dryness, and this fragrant oil, and put it on his head, and it would just give this perfume that was beautiful. And it was kind of a sense of an anointing, a blessing, if you will. You know, so it's kind of an odd thought to us today. Unless you're a lady and you go to your salons, and they do that at the salons. Now, here's what I'm talking about. For me, I'm a guy. I go get my hair cut anywhere. I don't care where. And you're probably going, we can tell. But anyway, I go anywhere. And I'll just go wherever I'm on. I need a haircut. I'll run in there. Who are you? And then Joe, okay, Joe, can you cut my hair? Sure, but I'm not a barber. I don't care. Go ahead, cut it anyway. So they cut my hair. And then what I do is when they're done, they get it short. And I just put some stuff in and go, and there it's done. And I go, right? I don't spend a lot of time on it. I don't worry about it. There it is. But I find that with women, it's different. They have their place they go, and they like to go that place, and they make recommendations sometimes. And somebody recommended me one time, I don't know if it was Tracy or one of my girls or somebody else, really, hey, you ought to try this place over here. They do real good haircut. And I don't know if they were telling me I needed a haircut or what was behind that, but I said, I'll try it. And I've never been to one of these before. I went in and sat down, and they start putting this fragrant oil on my head. And I'm thinking, they think I'm Jesus. No. They put it up there. I'm thinking, this is a little bit weird. I've never had this experience. I mean, it's kind of weird. And then they kind of go, and I'm like, okay, all right, look, I'm a guy.
It's a good boy. At least cut my hair. I got to go.
You know, that type of thing. So there is a little bit of that in our society today, right? I understand that to a degree, but this was very normal back then if you were a special guest, an honored guest. But then for the feet, to put it on the feet, you wash the feet with water. You never used that expensive oil and that much of that oil. And there's reasons for that. Again, we talked about this. This stuff would be almost like a betrothal ring today to a wife. Why? Back then when you got married, you gave the money up front. You gave the money up front. If I wanted to marry your daughter, I gave money up front in case I got killed or something happened to me or I left you or whatever the case might be. It would leave money for the wife so she could get started again, have some way to pay her bills and get her life going again while it was gone. It wasn't collected afterwards the way it is today when marriages, you know, split up or whatever. And so it was oftentimes given, one of the ways was in this very expensive oil of spikenard. And they would oftentimes wear them. It's even a thing around their neck from time to time and almost kind of like this, you know, prize or reward. And they would keep it put away. It was also kept for burials. You would use it on your families. When they buried back then, they would anoint the bodies with these fragrant oils and then wrap them up afterwards and bury the body. It was a way of showing honor and value to the one that you loved and this kind of thing. And so either way, it would have been taking this valuable part of her inheritance. Get this, valuable part of her inheritance and literally pouring it out in a moment of love for Jesus. It says she poured all of it out for him. She broke it open, and once you broke it open, you used it. It was in these closed, you know, alabaster type flask. You'd break it open and you would use it. She used it all on the Lord. And again, showing complete giving over of what she had to the Lord. No limit to the value and the love that she had for Jesus. You know, it's interesting. It says in Song of Solomon 8:7, many waters cannot quench love. Nor can the floods drown it. If a man would give all for love, or rather, if a man would give for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly despised. In other words, when you truly love someone, you would give everything up for them to have it. You don't care. You'd have the nicest house, the nicest this, the nicest that. But if the person you love, you know you can't have anymore and you're going to lose, you'd give it all up to be able to keep them. That's exactly what she's showing right now with Jesus. She's expressing this amazing love and openness for him. Notice she took a pound of it. Again, no limit to the value on this. All that she had, every bit of it, and she anointed his head. She rubbed his feet. It would have been this whole process that everybody's watching. She didn't care what they thought. I'm pouring out worship for the Lord, and I don't really care what you guys think. I love him, and I'm going to give him everything I've got. She wasn't doing it for a show. She was doing it. We're going to see in a moment. Jesus said she had planned to do this, to show her love. And then she rubs it in his feet. She uses her hair to wipe and dry his feet off, showing the love that she had and all this that was going on, this whole thing. And I don't want you to miss this in this, because guys, note this. And by the way, we're going to see in just a moment, get this. 300 denarii. He's going to tell us in a moment this was worth 300 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. Now, you take 300, that's 300 days. Add Saturdays in, which they took Saturdays off. It's a full year. This was a year's salary. I tried to guess what a year's salary was first service, and somebody came up and corrected me and said, actually, I was looking that up last night. What kind of person looks up the average salary in America? I'm sorry. But anyway, I don't know what he was doing. He's not here, so I can talk about him. But anyway, I'll give you his name if you come up afterwards. No, I'm just kidding. He's a great guy. But he said, hey, I haven't been looking this up. What are the odds of that? He said the average salary in America is somewhere right around 59 to 60,000. Now, I know some people, well, that's way more than I make. And some of you are going, wow, I couldn't live on that. Because you have millionaires and you have, you know, others, right? Most of us, all of us. And so it averages out to around $60,000 a year is what he was telling me for an average American salary. Now, if this was an average Middle Eastern salary in today's wages, she just took $60,000 in a moment of time and poured it on his feet and his head. Wow. I wish I loved the Lord that way. I don't. I love him, don't get me wrong. But I don't know that I'm to the place where I would, with reckless abandon, just pour everything out without stopping for a minute and thinking. And maybe Mary had thought this all through. I don't know. But I want to love him that way. I want to have that kind of reckless abandon for the Lord. Now you know why all eyes were on Mary. What is she doing? Did you just see what Mary just did? I bet it just got quiet probably. Just they saw her break it open thinking, wow, she's going to use some of her inheritance on the Lord. She just poured out her entire inheritance on the Lord's feet. And don't miss this. It says that the fragrance filled the room. Guys, there's two things I want you to note here. When you pour out your love for Jesus, it creates a fragrance in the room that nobody can miss. When you guys are worshiping the Lord, one person pouring out love and worship for the Lord can put a fragrance in a room that just it smells sweet. That's why when you come into worship times and it's neat, like it's a great place to be. The fragrance of the Lord is there because we're pouring out of the Lord's feet. We're showing him our love. We're giving him our care. And we're saying, God, we love you. We're giving everything. It filled the room with the fragrance of the Lord. And notice, Mary didn't care what anybody thought. Mary didn't care. Mary wasn't worried about whether or not the worship was too loud or too quiet. She didn't care whether or not those, I'm tired of these songs. I've heard them a million times. Her point was, you know what? I'm here to worship Jesus. This is not about me. This is about him. I'm going to pour everything out. Guys, listen, if we have that attitude, there's always going to be worship we like, worship we don't like, things we'd change if we could. Here's where maturity comes in as a believer. Are we here for us or are we here for Jesus? If we're here for us, we're going to grumble sometimes. When you get to a place when you recognize true worship is truly for Jesus, it's just worship. Let's fill the room with the fragrance of the Lord. And you sense this sweetness and you smell the fragrance of the Lord in the room. Now, don't miss this. She used her hair to wipe off his feet. Get this. As Mary was worshiping the Lord and pouring everything out for him, she took on his fragrance. Isn't that wonderful? And that's exactly what happens to all of us in here. As we praise the Lord, the room fills with the fragrance of the Lord. We take on the fragrance of the Lord so that other people can enjoy it. And this is exactly where Mary was. And by the way, I want to encourage you guys, you know, have a fragrance of the Lord in your homes. I haven't always done the best at this. Matter of fact, I failed, but I'm trying to reestablish it. Now, I remember when we built our house years ago, I put in speakers and music. I was so excited. We're going to play worship music. You know, not all the time, but just kind of have worship music in the background. I want the fragrance of the Lord to be in my home. And then I found out I couldn't get a single radio station, Christian station, inside my house with my unit. Now, so I'm like, okay, well, I have a CD player, so I'll buy these CDs. But once you hear these, you know, the five CD thing like a million times, like, okay, now I got to go, you know, it becomes a real chore to keep it fresh, so to speak, right? But that's my heart is to do that. So in my new home, I'm looking at ways with new technologies. There's a way you can do things with your smartphone and with different services that you can, through different speakers, you can play worship and all. And I'm not saying it has to be all the time. And if it's not playing all the time, you failed or whatever. But wouldn't it be nice on occasion, on a regular basis, to walk in and just have the fragrance of the Lord surround you as you entered someone's home? Wouldn't that be great? And see, that's my desire. I actually didn't come up with this. I stole this idea from someone. His name was King David. Because the Bible says when David was king, you know what he did? Listen to what he did. He employed worship people 24 hours a day, every day. And they would work shifts. He had massive multitudes of worship leaders, and they would all come in at different shifts and work an eight-hour shift, and then they would leave and all through the night. I mean, you could, listen, if you woke up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m, and you wanted to go to the temple because you had unrest, my life is horrible, I need God right now, nobody's with me, I'm all alone, you could go to the temple and you would just hear worship. They'd be there singing. So the fragrance of the Lord 24/7 was coming off of the worship mount, off of the temple mount. And David had him do that because he wanted, he said, you know what I want? I want indoor-outdoor speakers playing all the time on the temple mount. That's a modern day analogy. That's why when you guys go out here in the hall and you leave, you notice when you come in, there's music in here and there's music in the hall and there's even music in the bathroom. You can't escape. Now, we didn't put it in the closet. I should have thought of that. But you better not be in the closet anyway. You need to be in here in the service, right? Why do we do that? Because my heart is, listen, as any mom and dads, here's my encouragement to you. Seek a way to have the fragrance of Jesus in your home. But my husband doesn't know the Lord. Well, you do. Listen, one person worshiping the Lord brings a fragrance to the home. Note that. One person. One. Doesn't have to even be the whole family. If there's one person worshiping God, there's a fragrance that fills the room. So you be that fragrance. And look for ways. I'm not saying you have to go out and you're not a good Christian if you don't buy some kind of sound system where you can play music all the time. You know I'm not saying that. But whatever it means to you to get the fragrance of the Lord in your house, do that. That's why we play it in the hallways. That's why we play it everywhere in here we play it. Because my heart is I want you guys when you come in, whether you know it or not, I want you to enter into a fragrance of the Lord. And you might not even know why. You may come with the Lord. Church, sometimes you get here grumpy, don't you? You know what? A lot of that's the enemy. A lot of that's the enemy. Listen, he comes to what? To kill, steal, and destroy. Why does he do that? Because he doesn't want you to enjoy the Lord. We're going to see that in just a moment. He does the same thing here. He's going to come in and try to disrupt this whole thing. It's a beautiful moment of worship. He wants to rip it off. So you try to come to church, and I told you, you would, and this kind of thing, right? And that's all happening. And then you get here, and you walk in, and so you don't want to be fake, but you, hi, it's good to see you, and you're just kind of readjusting. And I think sometimes hearing the worship, you don't even know it's affecting you. Okay, these people seem pretty happy. You know, and there's this lightness that begins to come. It's something that happens. Be that fragrance person for Jesus. Be that worshiper. Be that person that allows that fragrance to come through you. You're not going to be 100% on that. But at the same time, you can do it some. And moms and dads, we have a responsibility to do our best to try to bring that fragrance of the Lord in our homes. And so Mary does that. Notice what happens here. Look at verse 4. Here comes the enemy. There's this beautiful moment, beautiful celebration. Jesus at the table, wonderful fragrance filling the room. Mary's taking on his fragrance and everyone else is enjoying this fragrance of Jesus. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? Oh, how righteous you are, Judas." Such a hypocrite. You know, this is the first recorded words of Judas in the scripture. Isn't that interesting? The first thing, I know he said more than this. He didn't stay quiet till now. But this is the first thing that the Holy Spirit saw worthy to write down. Him rebuking his Lord, whom he will shortly betray.
You've just been listening to Come to the Table with Pastor Mark Kirk. We're currently going through the Gospel Book of John. If you're new to the faith, John is a great place to start. You learn of such fundamental truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for each and every person. Jesus was even willing to meet with a Pharisee late at night to further explain who he was and what his purpose in coming was. Jesus talked with Nicodemus about being born again. All of this was referring to a spiritual rebirth that he was offering to this man and everyone else who would ever live. What an invitation. John 3:16 was spoken during this meetup, where Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Have you accepted this invitation from Jesus? We hope that this message has brought some clarity to what it means to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If you have any questions about the things you've heard today, would you give us a call? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once again, that number is 865-609-1385. In addition, you can let us know about any questions you might have by going to our website and finding the questions or comments link. Our website is thewaymedia.net. Come to the Table is a ministry based out of Calvary, Knoxville. If you find yourself traveling through, staying in, or residing in Knoxville, Tennessee, we hope you'll come visit us at Calvary, Knoxville. Service times can be found at thewaymedia.net. Just scroll to the bottom to find a link to Calvary, Knoxville. That's all we have for today on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary, Knoxville.